Grateful you have chosen to tune in to the Sunday night service. Tonight I want to focus in on the 27th Psalm. Only one verse there out of that I want to speak about tonight. But before we begin our study for this evening in Psalm 27, which I've entitled My Guide Through Life, would you bow with me as we pray? Father God, once again we pause to thank you for the privilege, the opportunity to study your word tonight. God, as we look at the Psalms, they bring us great joy in the midst of all kinds of circumstances and situations in our lives. They are so relevant to where we live, even though they deal with many of these Old Testament situations. But God, we're so thankful tonight that you are our light and our salvation, so we should not be afraid. So God, challenge us once again this evening as we look at your word. In the 27th Psalm, verse 1, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. One of my very favorite Bible verses in all the Bible has always been, for as long as I can remember as a young teenager, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 were always my very, very, very favorite verses because of what it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Just encapsulated in those verses there, just gives me great courage and great comfort each day that I go through life, that my trust, my focus, my confidence is in the Lord and in no other. And I'm grateful to know that oftentimes, you know, this scripture says, lean not into your own understanding. So many things you and I don't understand today. We may never understand, but even in the midst of it all, when we acknowledge God, this scripture gives us the promise that he will direct our paths. Tonight, I want to look at my guide through life. The psalmist said in the 27th Psalm, verse 1, in the New International Version of the Bible, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Now, David is writing these words. It reminds me a lot where he pins the words to the 23rd Psalm when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And so here tonight, there are three things that he's going to tell us about this, three things that God had been to David. But before we go there, I want to think about fear tonight. David was in a fearful situation here, a military situation. And even though he's looking at those situations in his own life, you and I are looking at some of the situations that's going on in our city, in our world, in our state, in our county, all over the world tonight. It seems like the world is somewhat locked down. It's somewhat paralyzed with fear. When I think about fear, I think about phobias. The Duke of Wellington said, the only thing I'm afraid of is fear. Francis Bacon once said, nothing is terrible except for fear. Henry David Thoreau said, nothing is so much to be feared as fear. And then when President Franklin Roosevelt assumed office during the throes of the Great Depression, he wanted to encourage the nation. So in his inaugural address, he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Let me tell you, fear is a deadly enemy to a peaceful and a quiet heart. Clarence McCartney said, from the cradle to the grave, fear casts its baleful shadow, and that fear is man's greatest enemies. I remember reading one time that Ann Landers reported that when she received more than 10,000 letters a week, that the majority of her mail that she received dealt with fears that people have. In fact, a common Greek word for fear is phobias, from which we get our word phobia. There are over 700 different kinds of phobias that people have, all kinds of fears that people have tonight in our world. All over the world, there are many people that see this coronavirus is very, very fearful because of the devastating effects that we're seeing upon the lives of people everywhere all over the world. There are all kinds of phobias tonight that cripple people with fear. For example, there's ergophobia, which is the fear of work. And obviously there are many people in our world that have that one. Demophobia is the fear of crowds. A lot of people don't like to be in crowds. Gamophobia is the fear of marriage. Panophobia is the fear of everything. And ecclesiophobia is the fear of churches. Whenever you read through history and you read a lot of historical facts from history books, it was said that Julius Caesar, he could lead thousands through a battle without being fearful, but he was terrified of the clap of thunder. It was told that when a storm was begin to come or brew upon the horizon, that Julius Caesar would begin to shiver. He would begin to shake. In fact, Peter the Great, the Tsar of Russia, was terrified to even cross a bridge. When he had to place his foot on a bridge, he would cry out in fear. And Louis Pasteur, he had an irrational fear of dirt and infection. He refused to shake hands with anyone. And so tonight, whenever you think about all the fears that are in the world tonight, I want us to focus upon what David said. There was a fear that seized his heart because there were enemies that were attacking him. There were events out there that were alarming him. And one of the things that fears that seizes the heart are the enemies, the enemy at large. Right now in our world, there's an enemy at large. It's in the form of a microscopic virus that has invaded our world. And all over the world, this thing has exponentially spread throughout the continents of the world, throughout the countries and the nations of the world. It's an enemy out there. David understood what it was like to have his heart seized with fear because of the enemies that were after him. And he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." I want you to notice there were three things in verse 1 that was so important to David. First of all, the light of his life was none other than God himself. When you think about the life of David, he was just a boy down in the Judean hillside, but it was out there with the sheep, being the shepherd. And when you read in the 23rd Psalm, his rod, that was a stick of about 3 foot long, but it had a heavy weight on the end of it. And the shepherds would use those in order to kill snakes or some predator animal that was coming against the sheep. And then he had a staff that would be about 8 foot long with a crook at the end. And that was to reach out and to pull the sheep back from those crevices that they could fall into, because many of those valleys in that Judean hillside were deep crevices where a sheep could fall and be stranded and to be lost. So the shepherd, it was so important to have his rod and his staff there. Now David understood, a young boy growing up down in the Judean hillside, he understood as he communed with God out there in nature. I'm often reminded of the song, "My God and I go in the fields together. We walk, we talk, as good friends should and do. We lift our voice, our hearts gleam with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows here." No doubt David had communed with God. He learned much about God during those days. He would be anointed by the prophet Samuel to become the second king of the greatest nation that had ever been, the nation of Israel. And so it was just as a boy, David learned to kill a lion and a bear. He was the one who went up against the great Philistine giant Goliath. You see, he stood there because God was his light. God was his pathway. And David realized that this awesome God, he said, "The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 says that God lives in unapproachable light. Who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Job speaks of heaven in Job 38, verse 19, as the abode of light. What is the way to the abode of light, and where does darkness reside? And then the psalmist said in the 104th Psalm, verse 2, God wraps himself in light as with a garment. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 22, and verse 29 says, you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. The psalmist said in the 18th Psalm, in verse 28, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Psalm 36, verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. And then in 1 John 1, 5, this is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. You see, David said, the Lord is my light, a light to guide us during the tough times of light. I'm so grateful for God tonight. I'm so grateful that I have a Bible. As the songwriter said, in times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have a Bible. In times like these, I have an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. David said, the Lord is my light. Notice that. The fear that seizes the heart. When fear comes, when phobias come, when these enemies begin to attack us in our personal lives, we need to refer back to the 27th Psalm, that the Lord is my light. In him there is no darkness. In light he leads us down the pathways of life. You see, David knew there were enemies at large at him. There were enemies that would attack him. There are events that alarm us. As I've listened to the news and looked at many, many news reports this week, there are so many events out there where the healthcare professionals are struggling to get ventilators and respirators and masks and the necessary equipment in order to protect themselves from this very, very contagious coronavirus. When I think about the makeshift hospitals that are being made in empty hotels, and there in New York City, they're putting up tents for makeshift hospitals. And then one of the Navy ships that has, I think, a space for 1,000 beds. And whenever I begin to think about the events that surround all of this, scientists, both at home and abroad, are coming together, sharing information, not being concerned about who gets the praise and who gets the glory, but they're all sharing information, working together to come up with what they can use in order to attack this enemy that has invaded our nation and our world at this present time. David said, in the midst of his fears, in the midst of his troubles, in the midst of what he was experiencing in life, he looked up because he knew the Lord is my light. Let me tell you, you and I, during this time, we can choose. We can make a choice. We can either be discouraged, we can be disheartened, we can be depressed, we can be distressed. Or we can choose to say, God, this is one of the greatest opportunities that you've given me in my lifetime to let my faith radiate to a world that needs to see Christ. And you and I have that great opportunity, the way our attitudes, the way we reflect ourselves during this time, to be more prayerful. The songwriter says, I would be prayerful through each busy moment. I would be constantly in touch with God. Let me tell you, that's one of the things you and I can choose to be, to let the Lord be our light and to know that in him there is no darkness. Let me tell you, he's got the whole world in his hands tonight. Let me tell you, the tomb over there is empty, but the throne of heaven is occupied. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. God was not taken by surprise that the whole world would be shut down by this coronavirus. God knew from eternity past to eternity present what was going to be happening in our world today. And let me tell you, don't let fear seize your heart, but reach out by faith. Let your faith be operated during this time by trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, by not leaning to your own understanding. And so David says, there was a fear that gripped my heart, but there were three things that he learned about God. Number one, the Lord is my light. Secondly, then notice David focuses on how he could strengthen his heart. Let me tell you, it reminds me, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. That word salvation, he's our deliverer. He is the one who delivers us from our sinful lives to salvation when we reach out by faith and receive him. But he is our salvation. Let me tell you, we are secure eternally in him. I'm reminded in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, it begins in the year that King Uzziah died. The death of King Uzziah, it was a troubling time for the nation of Judah. The nation was in total perplexity. They were in distress because their great king had died. He had been an awesome leader, and their world was falling apart. Uzziah had led them to the place of prosperity. They had known security like they had never known. They had never been in a better place than they were, but now their king is suddenly gone. He's died, and the people were wondering, what's going to happen? What's going to take place? What will the economy be like? Will our enemies be emboldened and rise up against us? You see, it was an hour for the nation of Judah of uncertainty and fear. But the focus of Isaiah was not on an earthly throne that was empty, but it was on a heavenly throne that was occupied by the Lord himself. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Let me tell you, folks, tonight, I would be fearful were it not for the fact that I know the Lord is in control. I know he's in charge. I know he's in the heavens. I know he's watching. If he watches over the sparrow, if he clothes the lilies of the field, let me tell you, how much more involved is he in mine, in your life tonight? Uzziah was no longer seated upon this earthly physical throne, but God was on the throne. In fact, that song, Have Faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, so we must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And here in our text for tonight, in Psalm 27:1, David's focus is not on the events that are surrounding him, on the enemies that are attacking him, but his focus, he has focused it on none other than the Lord. And when our hearts are seized with fear, you and I must look to the Lord and turn our eyes upon Jesus. Someone put it well when they said, look around, and you'll be discouraged. It would be so easy to be discouraged tonight. I mean, you know, this is so unprecedented here in the sanctuary, empty other than the media team that's here with me. It's such a different feel. And as I drove to the church today, I could not help but think, in some places in the world, people never have an opportunity to come to church because they're under communistic rule and they're not able to be in church. I'm so thankful that I have a wonderful, wonderful church home, church family. I know they're praying for me. I know they're praying for you. I am so grateful that when I look around, I'm not discouraged because my focus is on the Lord, who is my light. He is my salvation. Somebody said, look ahead and you'll be disillusioned, but if you'll look above, you'll be delighted. David said, there's three things I know about my God. He's my light, he lights my path, he leads me in the paths that I should go. The Lord is my light, And he said, he's my salvation. So David says, whom shall I fear? Notice his salvation, John 3:16. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. Acts 4 verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Let me tell you, David's salvation from his enemies was none other than the Lord. Let me tell you, our salvation tonight is in Jesus Christ, and there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. I'm grateful tonight that the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. And then notice what David said thirdly about that. He spoke about God being his stronghold. He speaks about God being his stronghold. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, Scripture says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Let me tell you, David had a faith that settled his heart. He had a faith that settled his heart. When I think about that tonight, he is the stronghold. Where do you go when there's no one else to go to? Who do you turn to when there's no one else to listen? Let me tell you, I go to the rock. I know that's stable. I go to the rock. David said about this rock, this great, awesome God. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? David was speaking about the military armies of routing. He was speaking about those that were against him. David said, as long as I've got the Lord, who's my light and will lead me in the right path, who is my salvation, my deliverer, he's my stronghold. That stronghold, he's a safe tower. He's my refuge. I can go to him, and he's with me. And David said, of whom shall I be afraid? Let not your heart be troubled. I read a story I want to close with in tonight's passage. I want to sum up this Psalm 27, verse 1, with the story Dr. James Charmels told. He was a missionary to the cannibals in the South Sea Islands. He told of how he set up camp in a very dangerous tribe of cannibals. Day after day, he would plead with the old chief to let him preach to his people. This missionary would tell the old chief the story of Jesus. The old chief would listen attentively, but he refused Charmels to let him preach the message to his people. One day, the old chief's son came to the missionary tent. He began to ask James Chalmers about the gospel, about Jesus, about the Bible. For weeks after week, he would come to his tent to get to know him more. Then one day, towards sunset, the tom-toms began to beat and the tribe began to gather. There was a huge bonfire that was built. Some men took this missionary and they took him to the center of the ring and they tied him down to a stake. And the old chief held a powwow and he passed a death sentence on this great missionary. They began to dance and party. They carried on throughout the night. Finally, it was stilled when the old chief stood up and he held out both of his hands, and he made a speech to this missionary that ended with these words, where is your God? Where is your God? If he's able to deliver you, then I will believe on him. The missionary tried to respond, but his answer was drowned out with all of the yells and all of the natives with all their partying and dancing. And then all of a sudden, the old chief's son came carrying a long sword that had been taken from a pirate's boat. He walked into the middle of the circle and stood there with the great missionary who was lying on the ground tied to a stake. He faced his father and he whipped out the sword out of his scabbard and a hush fell over the crowd. And in a clear, unfaltering voice, the old chief's son said, "The missionary's God is busy tonight, so he sent me to deliver him." And then the son said, "There'll be no more feast tonight. The missionary is going to live. And if any of you object, I'm waiting." There was a long silence, broken only by the quiet whispers that night of the natives. The old chief stepped forward into the circle. The son pointed the sword at the ground in front of his father, and he said in a very lethal tone, "You may come two more steps, no further." The old chief stopped. He stood there. He looked at his son. There was a great admiration that came over his face. And then he turned toward his tribesmen and he lifted up his hands and said, "Tonight, I abdicate as chief in favor of my son. From now on, he will be your chief. Obey his commands." He then turned and faced his son and he said, "May I have permission to cut the ropes that bind this prisoner?" And then I want you to listen to what Chalmers wrote at the end of that story. Chalmers, the missionary, said, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep all that I've committed unto him against that day." Let me remind you in closing tonight that you are God's child. If you're not God's child, you can be God's child by reaching out through faith and believe in Jesus Christ, who died and shed his blood to cover your sins. He is your light, he's your salvation, and the strength of life. You don't have to fear tonight what's happening or what is going to happen, because God is well able. God is watching over all. And as the old song says that Ethel Waters used to sing, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Someone wrote a song called "God is Watching." God is watching. God is watching from a distance. Tonight, would you pray like you've never prayed before? Will you believe God like you've never believed God before? And pray that God will heal this world of this virus. And then pray that through this time, that God will use this time to turn people's hearts to him. God bless you. I love you. Keep on believing. Keep on praying. Keep on tuning in to the broadcast. Wednesday night's service will be online. It will be live streamed. And if you need anything, please call us this week and let us know. Pray for us. We're praying for you. Until we meet again, may God watch over you. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, thank you once again for tonight. Thank you once again for the opportunity, God, to preach your word and to trust. Oh, for grace, to trust you more. Thank you, Jesus. Heal our land. Save souls, oh God, through this time of pandemic. And God, may it cause Christians everywhere to pray and witness like never before, because the internet is a wonderful, wonderful tool, and cell phones to keep in contact with others. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.